Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
Yeah, I definitely need help. Someone asked, will you manage? I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, sometimes this happened. Anyway, it's great to see all of you. Such a big privilege for us to come and spend this time. Actually, we had a plan to arrive 41 minutes before, but we arrived 2 minutes before. And I've got a question. How you can drive in London? Sometimes the feeling is you are driving through the pathway. It's not road. Actually, I thought it's for bicycles. And Natasha said, you have to drive this way. I said, no, it's for bicycles. But in the end, she was right. So we've done some, just enjoy the area. I'm not sure is it the most pretty one. I don't know, but so we just enjoy it. And tomorrow will be fine. But during the working day, I think it's nightmare to drive here. So good luck. What I noticed, the style of wearing style in London is different from Bedford. And you look great. I'm not saying that we are from Bedford, so we all look great as well. So it's good stuff about both of us. It was great privilege for us to meet Chris a few years ago. He came. I think it was strange story how Chris made decision to come, but we became friends from just one meeting. He came, spent time with us, we had a conference, and we just became friends. And thank you very much, guys, for praying, for staying with us, for supporting us. Hello. Svetlana? Lana? Thanks for your help. Yes, yeah. And now I can see you. We can worship Jesus together. And you know, the family, the sense of family is incredible here. And not just human family, God's family, because God is in the midst of us. Sometimes you can't feel it, but today I can feel it. Actually, this is a privilege for us, not only to believe, but experience. It's not just theory. We can live this way. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I would love to ask Chris to read book to make you work today. It's not day off. Book of Acts, whole chapter, please. Yeah. Okay, your English is much better than mine, anyway. And I think, okay, let's do this. Chris will read, and if I struggle with my English, you'll be blessed by his reading at least, okay? So this is good plan, I think. Chris, can you? Chapter 8, from first to the end. It should take 4 minutes. No more.
You think it's going to take 4 minutes? Here we go. I might just start preaching on the way. Oh man, this is long. Here we go. Okay. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip, they saw the signs he performed. They all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had preached sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip wherever, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived there, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying hand of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hope that he will forgive you for having such thoughts in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Now an angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met with an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from this earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Asternus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Ramon. Well done. Well done. It's a great story. It's a great picture. And the question is, why Luke has written this from many stories, this particular? Because the book of Acts, its story, how Jesus' great commission has been fulfilled, step by step. So Luke was chosen different stories, and this story is about the great breakthrough. You know, the tension between Jewish and Samaritans for a thousand years, has been great religious, political, cultural tension. And this moment, Jewish people brought a gospel, and gospel has been received for first time. It was incredible. And I'm going to look at this chapter, this story, and learn three lessons from Philip. This is the head for my sharing. Lessons from Philip. And let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this incredible opportunity to come together before your throne, in your presence. Just enjoy fellowship with each other, with you. And also, we are opening our hearts just to receive from you. Just feed us. Give us bread from heaven. We need it. Our earthly bread is not enough to be strong. We are living by the word from your mouth. We are open heart to receive, think through, and apply. Amen. I would love to look at this story from perspective. What kind of mindset had a Philip to do what he did, actually? Because, you know, no one can... Okay, we're all making plans. And I know by living in UK or in London, you're perfect in making plans. So many plans, like half-year appointment. But quite often we should say it doesn't work. Not all our plans are put into practice, yeah? Because so many factors can arise, or our life can change. And Philip, he faced a situation when he, as many Christians, had to leave immediately Jerusalem. It was scattering after Stephen's death. It was terrible happening, and you know, when this kind of stuff happens in life, you can't make any plans. One year ago, we had to leave our house. We had 5 minutes to pack our stuff because it was fighting. We had 5 minutes. So even we felt that something going on. You're trying to prepare yourself because you see these clouds. Something will happen. But when it's happened, you can't be ready because... So we had 5 minutes. We drove to our house. And I made a decision. I don't know how it works. I made a decision to evacuate our coffee machine. And Natasha had a brilliant idea to evacuate bronze horse with a chariot. And Natasha put it into her pocket, huge bronze horse. I'm just telling this story, the emotions in us when you have to make this kind of decision. And 3 days later, she said, oh, it's not comfortable. Something wrong here. 3 days later, she found out that there is a bronze horse on the pocket. Because we spent 3 days driving 500 kilometers. This collapse. So when Philip and all Christians from Jerusalem had to move, their life just collapsed. So first lesson, seeing the challenge as an opportunity. How it possible to prepare ourselves? Because, you know, when something happening, you can't prepare, you're acting as you've been prepared. The foundation critically important, because what you have done, what you have laid, you live with this. You can't change foundation during the stormy days. Amen? We need to think about future. And when I was praying for your church, I just felt 2 words came to my heart. It's foundation and direction. And I would love to encourage you. I really feel God is saying you've got very good foundation. It has been properly laid. So many people work hard, I think generations before, to lay down good foundation for this church. Foundation is critically important. So one story from China. In 1949, actually, probably I will read the quote. from John Stott. Those who were scattered preached the gospel. This does not mean that they all became professional preachers or missionaries. The Greek expression used here means that they simply shared the good news. So it's very natural. In the most tragic moments, the most deep stuff coming out from our hearts. When people scattered, and now after last 2-3 years or maybe more, I see how it works. Usually when people scattered for different reasons, it can be persecution, it can be war, it can be economical crisis or earthquake, something. When people scattered after a while, because when you arrive into a new place, you need to find a place where to stay, how to live, you need to find a job, you need to put your kids into school, especially if it's different nation, it's culture shock, you need to learn language, and sometimes it's even harder than English language. English is not simple language, guys, so no logic sometimes, from my point of view. I'm struggling to learn English, but after a while, what you're settling, what you believe in started to come out. And it's natural. When you're trying to rent a house, oh, we just went through this, so it's a big story. You have so many opportunities to share why you have moved to this nation. So all believers started to share. They said, oh, we are Jesus' followers. We believe in Jesus. Who is Jesus? Because in many places, no idea about Jesus. And they started to share the gospel. There, this what happened. And Philip, because he was deacon in a church, and he was anointed, he was full of spirit. When he arrived to Samaria, naturally he started to share. And some, you know, it's not always happen. We can't organize it. Sometimes we really want to organize revival. We can't. We can't. We can pray, and we need to pray. But the season will come, and season will come to London again. When Holy Spirit will move and touch people's heart. And for some reason, those who never believe, those who never were open to listen, to receive, suddenly they said, can you repeat what you said last month? So many stories. When Holy Spirit in a move, everything changing. So when Philip started to share the gospel, he just seen so many people became open. And also power of Holy Spirit was operating. Many have been healed or delivered, set free. And thousands started just to believe in Jesus. It's interesting, through the church history, the biggest extension, kingdom extension, happened through the scatterings. It's painful, but it's very effective. It's hard to encourage us to leave home, to leave established life, career, everything, friends, and move. It's hard. Scatter and do it in 5 minutes. You are so encouraged. I'm trying to joke, okay? In China, in 1949, the new communist government closes foreign missions and expels 637 missionaries from the country, effectively beheading the church. But soon, 286 of them began to serve in Southern Asia and Japan. And the church in China, from that moment to the present time, has grown more than 50 times. Challenge, opportunity. Challenge, opportunity. Before the COVID, we had a conference, and just before conference, a few weeks before, we sent our family to our friends to India. They've been planting churches there, and we gave all money we had, and we said, okay, whew, goodbye. In 2 years' time, we'll see each other. So we gave everything. But 3 days later, I've got a phone call, and the guy said, Andrei, we got a notice from government. They're not prolonging our long-term visa. So we have to leave India in 3-5 days, otherwise we'll be deported. And for next 5, 7, 10 years, we won't be able to come back. So we need money to buy tickets now, not in 2 years' time. Okay, and I was praying, not money, you know, money is coming. Money following vision all the time, so it's not biggest challenge. But why? I was praying just 5 minutes, I said, Lord, why? And I felt Holy Spirit saying, this is, everything will be fine. I really felt God is just bringing comfort to my heart. Everything will be fine, but this is a signal to you and to your team. You need to change your strategy from doing ministry there to coaching local people, helping them to grow, take responsibility, and lead. Because soon the season will come, you won't be able to come physically. So that challenge, and I was sharing with the team, we started to pray, and Valeria and Tatiana came back, we changed all our strategy, and we say, I don't know why, but now all our resources will invest into raising up leaders. Not doing there, but coaching, helping. And when COVID happened, since that moment, we couldn't come. But all work led by local people. All work. You know, sometimes challenge is so shocking. It's hard to see opportunity. But we need a foundation, we need a mindset. Special. And how to develop this? For this, we need to remember and believe with all our heart, that our God is King, ruling sovereignly and powerfully. Also, He directs the entire course of human history to a grandiose, beautiful final. He has no dead ends. And He is loving and capable of turning evil into goods. Into good. This is our foundation. And also, I think it's important for us to remember about the eternal life. To live with this hope. Not everything we are getting here. And sometimes we are paying cost. But I believe in reward. This is huge motivation for me. Not everything, when I invest my time, my energy, my life, not always reward here. I believe when Jesus returns in His glory, He'll look at me. He'll say, oh, you're a good servant. Andre, welcome. Maybe maybe. I'm not sure, maybe. But I like this idea, you know. Just walk. Humble, with joy. I'm waiting for Jesus. Because when He come back, the better life will start. No pain, no death, no disappointments, joy. And all our potential will be released. It's not sitting on a cloud doing nothing. It's quite boring. I think we'll be very active in a good way. Amen? When I have to finish, because my plan was come back early and ask this question, but I came back. But anyway.
We normally finish around 12 o'clock.
Oh. But you mean if I, yes, if I stop early, it's bad. I know. I can feel it. Yeah. You're so polite. I like it. So kind and polite people. Or sleep. When I'm preaching in English, people get in revelation. Do you know why? They're trying to get what I'm saying. They're praying. Lord, please help me to get what He tries to say. And Holy Spirit just moving around. I'm reading from Acts, people getting from Exodus, but it's fine. Second lesson. Seeing in a supernatural difficulty is a call to cooperation. I will read this from 14 to 17, these verses. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. I really believe God is going to teach us how to cooperate. I really believe for future work, for what God is going to do, He's going to train us how to cooperate with love, joy, because there is no competition in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's happened, but in the kingdom of God, there is no competition. Everything belongs to Him. Everything. Everything we've got, we have, we've got from Him. It's no reason to be proud. Sometimes God is helping us to be humble. Yes, thank you. Even now, when I'm preaching English, I said, Lord, You're digging proudness from my heart. Because once I was preaching in Romania, and I've done a lot of preparation, and it was lady doing interpretation to translation to Romanian language. And I started to preach, and I forget everything. English, Russian, Ukrainian, just everything. Failure to collaborate and develop partnership is a common cause of stagnation. You can imagine, Philip came to Samaria. He knows this, that experience to be filled with the Spirit. He loved Holy Spirit. And also his ministry there was with a lot of miracles. Holy Spirit was on the move. People had been healed, delivered, thousands. A lot of miracles happened, except one. All people who received Jesus and been baptized in the name of Jesus haven't received the Holy Spirit. I'm sure he prayed all praise he knows. Laying hands, without hands, with the fasting, nothing happened. There is a limit in our ministry all the time. We'll face it earlier or later. There is a limitation. No one has everything. No one. No one has all gifts or wisdom or experience. We'll reach our limitation quite soon if we're really involved in God's work. And then apostles from Jerusalem came. They did nothing, just guest speakers. They arrived. They said, oh, what a wonderful church is here in Samaria. Can we do something? Philip said, yes, please. Can you pray for these people to be baptized? They said, what the problem? We can. So they prayed, lay hands, and it's happened. Sometimes guest speaker come, the same message, and all people said, wow, what a revelation. Local guys can stay, All previous 5 weeks, we tried to do the same. It didn't work. I don't know why, but we're all limited. Amen? And it's interesting, Philip, he received their help. Apostles, they helped and they left. This is lesson. I'm learning now where God is asking me to build and be responsible, and where God is asking me just to help, cooperate, partner, bless, and leave. Light touch. It's so important. In the end, everything belongs to Jesus. This is privilege for us to help each other, to partner. Amen? Sometimes local church has a building, but not enough people. Sometimes church has a lot of people, no building. Sometimes people and building, but no ideas. And some people sitting in empty building, so proud we've got a great building. There is a call to cooperation. Amen? Mission. Sometimes we can't send. We don't have enough resources. We have open door. This is resource as well, I believe. For some people, God has given a lot of open doors. But not for them. Do not keep the door. Invite more and more to make a call. Guys, there is an open door for the gospel, but we don't have resources. Can you join? Can you send people? Can you release finances? Can you send specific gifts? And then we'll celebrate together. What I feel, it's second word for you, is direction. You've got great foundation, and God is going to lead you into new territories for preaching gospel, and not only here. I really believe God is going to open the doors for you internationally. Hallelujah. You've been praying for the unity, for being together, one heart. And you know, it's hard to build unity around theology. Even relationships, it's not enough. It's not enough. We need direction, we need mission, because our God, our Father, has a business. He's doing great things. And usually unity comes from receiving vision and saying, yes, we'll do it. I really believe God is going to give you clear direction where God is going to lead you. Maybe he's done it. I'm just encourage you. But unity and our togetherness growing around the vision, around the mission, when we agree together to do. We can disagree in some theological questions. It's okay. Sometimes even cultural differences, we feel uncomfortable in some areas, but it's fine. We have one goal to achieve. We have vision from God. And we made a decision, okay, we'll keep our differences with us. Grow in unity for being able to fulfill. I really believe that God has a plan for UK churches to be seriously involved in Europe. I know Brexit happened. I know. I don't know. Good or not. But it doesn't mean that UK churches has no responsibility for the Europe. I really believe God is going to anoint you even more, involve you even more into working in Europe. God is going to move seriously and powerfully in Europe, touching nations. God is doing now incredible stuff in Poland already. For last years, the number of churches multiplied. The number of new believers multiplied like never before, hundreds of years. They haven't seen such a move of God. And it's just beginning. I really believe God is going to move in Germany, in Czech Republic, in many, many places. And God gave you good season to be well-established churches with a lot of resources. You have so many gifts, mature people. This is a resource, and it's not just for you. This is a resource to release and bless. Some of you maybe will move, but a lot of you will be sent for short term, longer term. Just bless, equip, be involved. I really believe the exciting season will come. God is good. how to develop this mindset without any competition, cooperate, collaborate. Remember that no one has the fullness of wisdom or all the gifts. Appreciate and seek out people to partner with other gifts and who are more gifted, experienced in certain areas. I'm enjoying to be surrounded with the guys much wiser, much more gifted, much stronger, much more experienced. I'm enjoying because it's much more fruitful and it's good fun. When I can't read English, I can say, Chris, can you read, please? It's fine. Amen? It's just a little example. It's so simple. Because it's no competition. But in some areas, I know God anointed me, and I will do what I have to do with boldness, with courage, and faith. The team operates like this. Learn to interact with strong and talented people. Strong people, it's not simple to work with strong people, but for big work, we need to work with strong and confident people. We need to develop the skills. This is especially for leaders. If you are leading something, not always strong people saying yes, yes, sir, yes. No, not always. Sometimes they are giving their opinion, disagree, but it's how everything becoming beautiful and developing. Okay, third lesson. Are you still okay? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I see. No one, or almost no one asleep. I won't point. And third lesson is, in the newness of God's call and intriguing anticipation of a miracle. Actually, it's Google Translate. It's my, not my knowledge of English, okay? I'm very honest with you. In the newness of God's call and intriguing anticipation of a miracle. I love this. Google, thank you. Verses from 26 to 31. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the route, to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of the Kandak, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. It's very interesting. By being involved in public evangelism, huge ministry, thousands of people, suddenly he felt that God is saying, leave everything and go to the empty road with no more explanation. It's very interesting. Sovereign God sometimes is leading us without giving explanation. It's risk. It's quite risky to say yes. Because I'm asking question. What the next? I'm thinking about the future all the time. Many questions. Lord, okay, you're leading us. What will be next? What will be next? And sometimes, silence. When war started 2014, we spent months praying. What will happen? How? When? Silence. Only one question have been answered all the time. What we have to do? Step by step, God was leading us. And now, a year ago, again, everything broken. I said, Lord, when everything finish, silent. How? Silence. What we need to do next? Answers. Step by step. Follow me. Follow me. And he's giving us direction. And you know, obedience, this is description of our fruitfulness and effectiveness. Obedience. Only one way to be fruitful in God's eyes is to be obedient to him. to leave everything, successful ministry, huge ministry, and go to empty road. You know the story ends. Philip never came back to Samaria. In the midst of incredible ministry, he had a call to leave everything, trust God, because all question how the churches will be. Everything fine. Peter was looking after the next chapter. If you read, you'll see. Peter was traveling from Jerusalem, to all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria to look after churches. So, God knows. Don't worry. You leave everything and go to the empty road. When he went, he said, okay, I am here. What a wonderful place. Nothing happening. What a potential. But then, just one man from Ethiopia. Just join him. Share the gospel. And that man had been baptized, came to Ethiopia and shared gospel there. It was breakthrough into African continent. God knows, because God said, my thoughts and my ways is higher than your thoughts and than your ways. And only one way to check it is to be obedient. Very often God is giving us incredible opportunities, but it looks like nothing. No potential. Sometimes God is just trying to attract our attention to someone, but he looks like no potential, like person with no potential. And God is coach him, pray for him, spend time. I think, but for what? There are some other guys. No. Be obedient. And after, because God knows heart. I still remember years ago, 10-year-old boy came to me and he said, can I be your disciple? Can you coach me? 10-year-old. I said, yeah. Now he's leading church. I was leading for 20 years. No potential, 10-year-old. And now he's man of God, leading underground church in under huge pressure with a lot of creative ideas. Now he's developing a fitness center in a church building, underground church. It sounds incredible. Where from all these ideas? From prayer, God, how we can reach young people under the persecution. Amen. Open fitness center and reach them. Amen. Train them, coach them, and preach the gospel. Amen. I'm going to finish with how we can develop this mindset to take a risk. Be inspired by testimonies from the Bible and the church history. Grow in faith in the power of God and His wisdom. Practice your obedience by doing what is revealed through reading, studying the scripture. Regularly spend time in God's presence, seeking His comfort and guidance. Do in faith what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. We can't. It's impossible to be obedient in one area by being not obedient for whole life. Obedience, it's our attitude, and it's our everyday practice. No one can be obedient in everything, but we are learning. We are growing in obedience. If this is my attitude, I would love to please my God. This is my mindset, this is my treasure, this is my prayer in the morning. Lord, it's a beautiful day. I would love to please you. Just lead me, just help me to understand what you want me to do. And I'm committed myself to be obedient. This is our kind of foundation. And when we, during the weeks, months, years, live an obedient life. Then, in the most tragic moments, when Holy Spirit asking us to do something, we've been trained, because when we are going in obedience, we see a lot of miracles. I can tell you stories. God asked us to send team to India, and since 2014, we felt God was asking us to give everything from our budget to support Indian mission. And I felt just crazy. We've been giving from 80, sometimes 90, sometimes 100% we had everything. And by God's grace, from one couple, we've planted nearly 30 churches there. And it was war. When we started mission in India, we had $150 because economical collapse, everything stopped. For years, the same, we felt, it's crazy, but we felt, release all we have to support mission. But God was faithful. He was giving us more for our work to do in Ukraine. And now we are doing planting in Europe from Ukraine. I think it's crazy idea from collapsed economical context to develop ministry in Europe, in Germany, in Munich now. It's like crazy, but it works. Because we have learned everything God wants us to do, He'll pay. He'll release finances. A lot of miracles happening. And praise God, we are not lonely. We are part of family. We can partner, we can do it together. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Four points. Grow in trust in God who creates new opportunities from challenges. It can be local, individual challenge, or national. Learn to work in a team and appreciate people with other gifts. Be open to change by opening up to the best of God. Dedicate yourself to exploring and putting into practice God's purposes. Can we stand together? I really believe not everything global, but everything is important. Every call from God is critically important. It can be a call for you to do something little, but this can be part of God's big picture. Everything is very important. I really love to encourage you. Right now, repeat your commitment or make a commitment to walk with God in obedience. One day, teenager Samuel, he had a prayer. Speak, God. I'm your servant. I'm ready to hear. I really feel this is time for some people to make a step forward. You've been growing, you've got good foundation, and now it's time to take a risk, to ask God to speak. To speak specifically. I really feel God is going to do it. Just ask Him. This is new season in your life. Season when God will speak very specifically. You'll understand what God wants you to do. And you'll make steps of faith and you'll see miracles. Sometimes it will be feeling that you need to offer prayer for healing for your colleague in work or stranger in this underground. You're sitting nearby with a pain, but God wants you to offer the prayer. Just take step of risk. But pray first. Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I'm in your hands. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk in obedience. In a big and in a small, every day, not just big projects, big trips, everyday life. Just lead me with your quiet voice and lead me with miracles. I'm making decision to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking Holy Spirit, just increase your anointing, increase your power. I really feel that season of miracles. This is season of miracles, but miracles following obedience. I just want to encourage you, when it happens, come and bring testimony. Just encourage church, it's happened. Encourage after praying for healing, making phone call, organizing meeting out of prophetic word from Holy Spirit. We need to develop this culture of obedience, and it creates culture of miracles. Oh, Jesus. It starts here, and God is going to send to the ends of the earth. You'll be blessing for many. You'll be blessing for many, but blessing by being obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.